Well, on November 28, 2014, I got an email from Pastor Glenn, an invitation to go to this camp's abroad trip. I was jumping for glee. I was so excited about the fact. But there are a few people I needed to check with first. She started packing my lunch. She thought, okay, you can go. He was like, yeah, I think you'll be right. She was like, go on, Dad, you go get him. He wasn't too happy. He was a bit regretful. He really didn't care. Then we got to the States. I'll tell you what, there was challenges about the trip, and you know, I must say that I'm very thankful to my family and the wider family who really did put up their hand to cover, you know, a big gap, and I was thankful to the Lord for them. But we got to the States, and it was very exciting, and when we were there, we were about to travel, and that was me getting ready, and I went with this bloke, which is Pastor Kendall, and we flew for a long, long, long time. And that man can sleep through anything. He's amazing. Anyway, we got to the States, and we got on the bus, and I couldn't see much. My vision was obscured, and I thought it was like an American mountain or something, but it wasn't. But anyway, I'm probably going over a few pictures, but that's when we eventually got to the wilds, and that's the entrance into it there. I'm going to show a few pictures. I want you to get a feel of what I saw, and then I want to explain the blessing that it was for me in my life and how it has really changed my life, my thinking about ministry. And for that, there's nothing that, you know, that could surpass that, I guess. Coming back refreshed and with a different perspective about something that you have seen that has dramatically changed your thinking is a good thing. And I'm forever thankful, first of all, to Pastor Glenn for inviting me and for the Lord's provision through that. So this is basically the campsite, just, you know, general pictures. It's a beautiful place. Pastor's already gone over it, so I won't reminisce too much about it. That was our accommodation. There were five of us. There was this guy, Pastor Self from Southern Cross. He was always eating. I mean, looks are really deceiving, but this guy can eat. There was this guy, Brother Luke Matthews, and we know him. That's all of us together there. Tell you what, it was a wonderful blessing to be around godly men. It really was. And we were encouraged by one another and challenged just by being together, and certainly did appreciate each other's ministry to one another. You can't not talk about the food. A snake. They didn't taste too bad, honestly. A bit of salt and pepper did the job. We really got fed well. The games and the fun, and this is, I guess, where I'm getting to with when I was thinking about why am I going on this trip other than going to see this wonderful campsite. I was thinking, well, obviously Pastor's got an overall vision, but for me it was more of a smaller perspective. What can I see over there, or what can I bring back from over there that will help me do something here in what I'm already doing? And as I show you some of those photos, I hope I can explain what I've learnt and then go on further in that. The games always involved people together. Leaders, the young kids, they were always playing games together. And you know what? They were fun games. Sometimes I do my games at the Proteins Ministry and I'm spending 5 minutes with the instructions and I'm looking at the kids and I have to wake them up. But not here. They played some really, really good games. So everyone was involved and everyone was doing something. Then there was fun time. Now, you know, you think to yourself, what's the purpose of fun time? This theatrical thing where you make people laugh, is it just part of the program? Well, a lot of us may have thought that, but no. Here they were with their play. I won't go into too much of that because I'm sure Luke will talk about that. And this is free time. Play golf. We've already seen that. There's the swing. That was quite famous. That was very scary. There's the blob. Apparently they said when I sat on it, there were two blobs. But as you can see, there's one kid jumping there and then the other one coming off. And seeing I'm here now, that top thing up there, I fell off from the top. I tell you, wherever there was water, I fell. I'm thankful to the Lord, the only place I didn't fall in was in the bath. But everywhere else there was water, I fell. Anyway, that's a story for another time. That was Pastor Sel doing a swing. That was me causing an avalanche in the water. That's the slide Pastor showed. Now, if you're more into nature and walking, you know, looking at the creation and, you know, beautiful places to see, Brother Dan said, we're going to go for a little walk. But he took the leash off his dog. And that said something to me, that we're not walking. We ran. And we nearly died. That man is like, we ended up calling him $6 million man. Anyway, we went on this expedition. That was the result. A kind of a wonderful little analogy there that when there's hard work, there's reaping at the end, there's blessing at the end. We reaped and we were blessed and we rested when we got to that point because that was a big jog and a big climb. But it's a beautiful place. It's a place of fun. It's a place where you can go and enjoy yourself. But I tell you what, the Lord challenged everyone that was there. Every single person's heart there was challenged with the Word of God, and that was a blessing. There was a message preached from Acts chapter 5 by Brother Matt. You know, we need to be sincere in our Christian life. We just need to be who we are. And hiding behind the walls of what we should be are things that God doesn't want from us. And it was challenging to me that we just need to be who we are and allow God to make us what He wants us to be. And Ananias and Sapphira was an example of how they tried to hide their sin and they wanted to be something that they weren't. And that was a challenge because we can use that in our everyday life, at home, with our family, in ministry, at church. I mean, when we put on a tie, are we trying to impress people or do we want to honour the Lord? And for me, that was challenging. In the home, church and school, there must be accountability. We need to take steps to keep ourselves accountable before the Lord. There's also another message preached on accountability. Are we concerned for one another? Now, do we look around and say, are there needs? Are there people struggling? You know, for me, I put my hand up and say, hey, I haven't done that. You know why? Because I have a busy life. Hey, it's not good enough. It's just not an excuse. If something's important, you make time for it, and that was a challenge for me as well. It's just missed the top of it, but it was hope, and handoff. And that's part of what they taught their leaders to teach or to reach their kids, that they needed to give their kids hope with whatever situation there was, and then they needed to give them help. And then they needed to find a way to, you know, make that help accountable, which they did when they went back to their churches. They would have hopefully someone that they could hand off to help them with. What I'm bringing home, and this is where I'm going to tie in all of the stuff, the pictures about the fun that I showed you a bit earlier. Fun and games are a means to an end. There is a purpose I've learnt now for those things. They should be ways to reach people, not just entertainment. Part of the goal of the Wilds is to show people how to have fun, but with a twofold purpose. You know what they show or what they try to achieve when they're playing games and when they're having fun? It's not just to keep the kids entertained. And this was like life-changing for me. For me, it was like, okay, 20 minutes of games, we'll get the kids tired, they come sit in the message and they'll listen. No. It's about breaking down barriers and building bridges with those souls. And having fun and playing games is a means to that end. That was revolutionary for me. Don't know why it hasn't sunk in before. I'm a slow learner, but I'm eventually learning. And aligning, and this is something else, that aligning everything that they do to work towards their major goal of doing everything to the glory of God. That fun, that game, somehow fits into the big picture of the gospel and reaching these kids. It is a worthwhile thing for any ministry to have a philosophy explaining what is its goal, how it endeavours to complete that goal, and the parameters that need to be kept in order for that ministry for that ministry to maintain consistency. That's something else that I'm working on at the moment, and that is a philosophy of why I do what I do and how I do it. That breeds security in your ministry, because you have parameters there that you know that you're working towards and you can't step outside of, and it keeps that ministry focused. And at the moment, I'm in the process of doing that, and hopefully I'll pass to Glenn for his approval. But for me, that was a very good thing, because I can also then provide tools for my leaders on things that may help them through the process of that ministry. And I'll finish at this point here. This man is Dr. Hay. He's the founder of The Wilds. He has a wonderful story. I could probably sit here or stand here for the next 15 minutes to talk about him, and I'm sure Pastor Glenn could too. But he's quite inspirational. He says, "It is good to dream." And I'm not quoting him, because I'm just writing down what kind of, you know, what he roughly said, because I can't exactly remember. But he says, "It is good to dream, but people that do not act on or actively seek those dreams, or those God-glorifying dreams, will always just be dreamers. Dreams are only as good as the desire one has to fulfill them." And that was kind of inspiring to me, because, you know, if you have ideas in ministry and serving God, that's a good thing to have. And if you're not sure that the Lord will be, or if it's something that the Lord could use, then, you know, get counsel from a pastor, but don't just be dreamers. You know, go and act on what God would have us to do. If He, you know, perhaps has something for you in your life, don't just let it sit at here. Let it get down to there and then act it out and do something about it. The challenge for me is what I've brought home are so many things that only that trip could have taught me. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to have gone. Thanks.
My testimony for tonight, as you can see, there's a lot been said. Good photos, and Brother Gus has been able to give us some good insight on the camp and pictures of the camp. And I know time is going, but I'll give a brief testimony on my experience at the Wilds. First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for the opportunity to go. Again, it was I wasn't expecting to go. Pastor said there was no more room, but I got an email, and praise the Lord, my wife agreed, and I was able to go. It was a blessing to be part of the camp, camps abroad. I've been to the Wilds before with my wife to a couples retreat, but it was a blessing to be part of these camps abroad and the senior and junior camps there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Three times a day we said that verse in our meals. It's to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The world was built on this verse. It was a blessing to be able to proclaim that verse every morning at breakfast, lunch and dinner. And it's a blessing to see God's hand at the Wilds. It's not about you. The message was, it's not about you, leader. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about the children. It's about the kids. We're not there to show off and to show how good we are and show how good we are in front of the children, but it's about God, pointing them to God. And I thought that was a blessing to just be taught that day after day, especially to the leaders, that it's not about you, it's about God, to the glory of God. And that's a blessing to be able to also to be there and to be, as Brother Gus saw, in a dorm of with five of us. And as you saw, there was a queen-size bed, and I was lucky enough to grab that one. Thanks to Luke, because I think he had to leave on Thursday, and I put my hand up and I said I was happy to take that. And also I found out that I was the oldest in the group. I thought I wasn't the oldest, but I found out that I was. So I took charge. Okay, as you see, the food, camp food was great. The ice cream was great. It was only $2.75, I think, for that big, only two scoops. And I finished it, and I told Gus, I said, when I finish this, I'm going to run down the stairs, 120 stairs or so, go and play basketball, go and play football in the soccer in the oval, and then run up the stairs. And I'll be ready for another two scoops. But it was a great fun. It was exciting, and as you can see, a lot of fun to be around Christian people. And that was a blessing to me, especially with the leaders of the camp. And we also see the relationship that the men and the leaders have in the camp. There is this unity within the camp. And that's a blessing to see when leaders have a like-mindedness to run a camp, especially with so many people under their under them that they need to minister to. Just briefly, one of the things that as they were in the first week with the counsellors and training them up, obviously there was a lot of things they had to be trained on. Counselling, how to deal with rebellious children, how to deal with difficult questions, how to behave, where to go, where not to go. And one of the things that stood out to me was, it was interesting, was with the teams, there is a male counsellor and a female counsellor. And as you know, with these college kids, they're looking for a partner in life. And sometimes if they're there for 10 weeks, they might get attracted to each other. The guy counsellor will be looking at the girl counsellor and sort of eyeing each other. And I remember Matt Herbst, he said, look, if that's the case, you just go up to him or to her and just tell them, say, look, I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm not interested. Okay, and I thought that was good, getting it straight in the beginning. It wasn't about us, it wasn't about them, it was about God. It was there to serve the children. It's not about me. It's not about my wants, my needs to be met. It was there to serve God in that capacity and being there to help the children, to point the children to Jesus Christ. So 10 weeks, and I think it's 4 weeks now that the wives have been going through. And one of the parts that I took part in, because there was a senior and a junior camp, I was sitting in mainly within the junior boot camp. It was called the JBC, Junior Boot Camp, and it was called the Tank Attack. As you can see, there's tanks there, and there's a red team and a blue team. And the theme of that week that I was there was found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And who is our commander? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, was the theme from Psalms 24:10. And beloved, I found it a blessing to be sitting under the ministry, even of this junior boot camp, because the messages going forth were Bible, 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 verse after verse. And if I go through some of these points, the characteristics of our commander, number one, he is present with us, omnipresent. He is perfect, he's holy. Third, he is powerful, omnipotent. He's preeminent, he's above all. Now, these ones are juniors, and yet the pastor was bringing out these big words, but yet explaining to the juniors exactly what the significance was, what the meaning was. How to guard your hearts, guard your lips, guard your looks, guard your life. Another one was the enemies we fight, the devil, the flesh, the world. And finally, there was three aspects of victory. The promise of victory, the potential for victory, the provider of victory. So as you can see through the themes throughout the week, was just focused. And this one of the commander, the Lord host, he is the King of glory, pointing them to the Lord and how they can live their lives. And yet if you sat there, you just see the receptiveness of the young people, ready to listen, ready to put their hands up to answer questions, know when it's time to listen and know when it's time to have fun. When it was time to have fun, Big Bob, he named him Big Bob, I think he was there. I think there was a photo of him as well. He was great with the kids. He was able to communicate and get to their level and really get them involved. So there was Irene pretty much hearing them sing. You can see the staff. But it was a real blessing to my heart to be part of that. And again, as I said, it wasn't the theme of it, and what I got out of it was, it's not about me, it's about God. And it's not about showing who we are to the children, how great we are, how great a soccer player we are, or how great we can do these things. It's about them, about reaching souls for Christ. And as you see, Dan Brooks was a blessing to be under the ministry of Dan Brooks, Matt Collier, some of these men, Matt Herbster, you know, Matt Taylor, Mark Herbster, Ken Hay, Ken Collier, and Big Bob, just to name some of these men. And I miss them, because they were a blessing to me, just in their ministry, in the unity to serve God. Since 1969, obviously, the wars have been going on since 1969, and it was a blessing to see how God has used that camp. And I think Brother Gus mentioned it, but he didn't say it tonight. It was a little heaven on earth. You know, just to be there and just to wake up, have God and I time, just to be under the ministry of the Word of God, sing praises unto Him. And just to end, beloved, I'd say this, but, you know, the walls, they have a philosophy. They use the King James. They say, we use the King James Version because it's the most accurate. And we also have conservative music because we believe that will glorify God. And yet though other churches might not agree with that, but yet they were willing to bring their children to sit under the ministry of the WAS. And I think that's a real blessing, because they stand for truth, and you could see it there at the WALS. And I was really encouraged, and yet even at my age, I am young at heart. I love kids, but I pray that God will continue to use me in that way. And the things that I've gathered, there's a lot of things we've learned. But just that little small thing that I'd like to share tonight. And again, I just thank the Lord, and I thank Pastor Matthews and Aaron and everyone that was there, the boys. Had a great time. I don't know why Gus showed that dorm, but it was really messy. but it was great, a great time of fellowship. And praise God for that. And I think it's Aaron now. Sorry, Pastor.
Thank you, Santiago. Well, my lifelong partner in marriage and in ministry is my wife, Erin, and I'm very glad she was able to come as well, and she's going to come and share her testimony now. Thanks.
I won't be long. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And in this case, it was the wilds sharpening our countenance. While going to or running a camp may not be a foreign concept to many of us, there is still much we can learn. And so that was really why we were so blessed to be able to take a team over. Our time spent at the wilds was challenging in that we were constantly exhorted to do all to the glory of God, and to ensure that every aspect of camp ministry is based on a strong biblical foundation. And that is, there needs to be a biblical reason behind everything that happens at camp. All aspects of camp, like games, fun times, free time, etc., are not to be looked upon as just time fillers, but they're all there for a purpose. As Glenn said, we've had two touches in the last 12 months with Camps Abroad. The first was in September with Dan and Amy, to helping us run two camps, and then our recent trip for staff training to North Carolina. And both of these touches have been an eye-opener in showing us how we can better plan our camp programs and train our camp leaders. It's all well and good for you to sit here and see these wonderful things happening at the Wilds, but how are we going to bring this and have it affect in our church? And that's what we are burdened to be able to do. At our own camp here last September, and then at the Wilds, before Dan and Amy came in September, Glenn and I thought that we knew what we were doing. and then in the weeks leading up to that visit, we had several Skype sessions with Dan as he talked us through our proposed way of doing camp. And it was really humbling to see him graciously rip up our program and, figuratively, he was on the other side of the world, and introduce us to a better way of doing things. At our own camp here last September and then at the Wilds, we've been challenged to see how the campers can have fun but be constantly confronted by the Word of God, because this exposure to the Word is ultimately what affects changes in the campers' lives. Now, the Wiles achieved this by building a program that is based on how Jesus ministered to others. Jesus ministered to the crowd, in smaller groups, and then to the individual. And so each day at camp, the campers are ministered to in large groups, through preaching sessions, Christian life seminars, etc. Then in smaller groups, like the God and I time follow-up, which is like a quiet time follow-up time. And then in addition to this, the counsellors, we call them leaders, are encouraged to spend one-on-one time with each camper in their charge at least once during the course of the week. So there is that continual sort of discipling happening. The counsellors aren't just at camp for crowd control, and I think sometimes that's what we look upon leaders as. They're not just there for crowd control or just to have fun themselves. Sometimes we look at leaders and think, oh, you're a little bit too old to be a clubber now. How about you come and be a leader, you know? but they're not there for that. They're there to build bridges and to minister to the campers in their charge. And all this requires well-trained leaders, well-trained staff. The Wilds take staff training very seriously. I mean, here are the manuals that we were given to work through in just a week, chock-a-block full of stuff. We literally sat in on session after session of counselling and training during the week of staff training, and it was quite overwhelming at times. I kept a diary, and every night I'd write up in the diary, and I'm just not going to read the whole thing, but here's just one entry, one tiny one, and it says, the morning session in the fireplace room was a counselling practice time. Glenn and I muddled through counselling each other. I was a chronic liar and he was a rebellious teen. Not sure either of us made much progress with each other. and that was sort of fun, but it was a bit of an eye-opener. We came away realising how much we need to know our Lord and his word better. So, what's the point? The point is that we need to have well-trained and well-prepared leaders. And that's probably the aspect I found most challenging, being there. Now, the Wilds suggest that counsellors should be just slightly older than the campers themselves. So you need leaders of calibre who are just a little bit older than the campers. So does this mean that we can only use young people who are super Christians? Well, thankfully, no, because they don't exist. It was a blessing to be reminded by Matt Herbster that the kind of people the Lord uses are joyful, competent servants who have teachable hearts. And so our desire is to better equip our young people so they too can effectively serve as camp leaders and counsellors, and we would greatly value your prayers in that regard.
It was a really great opportunity to head over there. It's not something that I was expecting. I was actually committed to heading away with my unit back home, and they're currently in and out of choppers at the moment, which is really cool. But I'm glad that I actually switched what I was supposed to do and go for this, because this was infinitely more important and something that will stick with me forever and hopefully any future ministry that I am involved in. Now, when I was asked to give a short testimony, I thought, well, that's fine, but then when I saw I was last, I thought, well, there's nothing left to say, really, so thank you for that. But really, the reason why I was there primarily was because in the last couple of years, the way I, my role within camps is the games and the fun time skits side of things. So all the non-spiritual parts. Which I know that sounds, you know, they're two separate things, but really, I think that they are very closely integrated, because while we want our teens to come and our younger people come for growing in the Lord or salvation, they're not going to come if it's just a week of uplifting message after message, you know, come for six great sessions and afternoon tea. You know, there needs to be an appeal, there needs to be games of some type, there needs to be, you know, enjoyable skits, things like that. And going and seeing this sort of thing really reinforced that everything they do all to the glory of God, and they have a reason behind everything, even something as simple as the skits that they put on, when they put the skits on, when they schedule games. And that was a learning curve, a big challenge in areas, but also an encouragement to hear that some of the things that we have been implementing over the last two camps have been steps in the right direction, and that was really encouraging. Even, you know, the most unspiritual of all, just their skits, which have nothing to do with the messages or anything. You know, they want to be funny, and they work really hard at being funny, and they are very, very funny people. And some of the things, you know, some of these counsellors could, you know, probably be professional actors, some of the things that they do, and they've been doing it long enough. And why do they put so much effort into their fun skits and things like and fun activities? It's because, as some of the others have touched on, the laughing together at a common spectacle, it builds bridges and breaks down barriers. Using the analogy of watching a funny TV show of some kind, you can laugh about it by yourself, but you'd much rather, you'll laugh more if you're sitting there with a group of people sharing in the experience together. And that's really what they do. And it's why the teenagers, they don't have to put on skits, something that we've, in Australia, we've been doing for years. But the kids don't enjoy that as much anymore. And we find that it was distracting from the messages, because these teens are, and the leaders, unfortunately, are stressed about the skit that they have to put on, whereas you have a dedicated team of people who it's their job just to come out and make you laugh, and you can sit there and laugh and just laugh together and build relationships with the people sitting next to you, and it doesn't take any of your time out of your busy camp schedule where you should be getting closer to God or learning more about your spiritual walk. And little things about what James touched on, it's not about you. They pumped into them because, you know, these are just young, early 20-somethings, most of them. Not even that, some of them are still teenagers, where they are still quite selfish. And pumped in, it's not about you. Even little things like, from the skit point of view, they see the same skits week after week for 10, 12 weeks in a row. And they make it clear, guys, while it's your 10 or 12th time seeing this skit in a row, for your teens that week, it's the first time they've seen that skit. So please, laugh in the appropriate times, or don't preempt the joke. Don't laugh before you're supposed to. Little things like that, which, you know, to us, you know, big deal, but they want the kids to have the best possible experience in something just as simple as a skit. And that was a real, you know, something that I've taken away from that. Also, as has also been touched on by the others, the quality of the people that they get to be the counsellors, the privilege of being as a camper 2007 or 17, and my counsellor back then is still on staff at the Wilds. And I knew that he was there, but I thought I'd love to see him, but I doubt that he'll remember me, because if he's still there, he's been there a long time, and it's a different group of teens week after week after week. Well, I was very humbled to find out that he did in fact remember me, and before I had a chance to reintroduce myself, he came and gave me a big hug. And we had a great time catching up, but what staggered me is the fact that he's only 28 now. Which, if he's only 28 now, meant that back then he was about 20 years old. And I remember there were 9 of us teenage boys in that cabin, ranging between 16 and 18 years old, and he is only 20, and he conducted himself with such, you know, such a high quality of leadership. And some of the fellas, you know, myself included, we gave him a run for our money, his money at times. But he was just so well trained and loved the Lord so much and was so spiritually mature, even as a 20-year-old, that we had, you know, no choice but to listen and follow and follow his example. And I still, to this day, remember some of the things that he taught us. And I'd love to see our future leaders have that depth of spiritual maturity before going into these camps, not just there for the crowd control. We want our counsellors and leaders to welcome the opportunity to counsel young people for salvation and in difficult issues, rather than, oh no, you know, who can I hand you off to because I'm so out of my depth here. You know, some of these issues are deep, but they don't need to be. You don't need to be out of your depth, because the Bible does have all the answers. You just have to know your Bible. And finally, their humility. These people have been doing this for a very long time, and we know very little compared to them, but they don't treat you that way. They're very humble, and what shows me that they're committed to improving themselves. They're always self-reflecting, and they start each year getting together and brainstorming, saying, how has the last year gone? What can we do to improve? What did we do that didn't work so well? But this is not just the cosmetic things. This is, you know, you know, spiritual things as well? You know, do we need to change the program so the teens are more receptive during the message here? Or was this, while this was a great game, did it bring out the competition in the boys so much that there were fights, things like that? They're always seeking to learn, and for people who are as good as they are, what they do is what they are, if they are still looking to learn, how can we not learn? How can we not look back on what we're doing, reflect, and look to always improve? And thankfully, the last two camps we've had in January have been huge steps in the right direction, and we look forward to constantly improving, and hopefully we'll never think that we've arrived, but just keep getting more and more influential for the Lord, and just remove all barriers so we can be used by Him in everything that we do. So, thank you.
Good, thank you, Luke. I just want to share just a couple of things just to wrap up. We're just about to conclude. I just want to make some final comments before we have our final hymn. Up on the screen there, that's Dr. Hay. Dr. Hay was burdened about a Christian campsite. And so he got together with his friend, Dr. Fremont, and they started praying. They met together every Saturday morning, praying that God would start a camp in North Carolina. And every Saturday they prayed for 10 years that God would start a camp in North Carolina. 10 years, every Saturday. And at the end of 10 years, Dr. Hay said, "I think I should do it." And so he, no one else was going to do it. God put such a burden on his heart. And so they looked for a property. They found 1,000 acres. And they didn't have any money, and so word got out. And some very generous person who just inherited a lot of money, young person, inherited a lot of money, said, "Dr. Hay, here's $1 million. Buy your property, build the campsite. You have $1 million. And so they bought the 1,000 acres. They put up the dining hall. They put up the dormitories. They put up the washrooms, ready to start camp, debt-free. And they started camp, 1969. And a year after that, or within the year, the guy who lent the money said, "Oh, by the way, that was actually a loan, not a gift." The young fellow who came into money didn't know what to do with it. He was a keen Christian, just gave it away. And his accountant got in his ear and said, "Look, you can't afford to give that much money away, not at this stage of life. Make it a loan rather than a gift." So, okay. So the gift became a loan, and it took him 20 years to pay it off. Those are hard times, as you can imagine. But Dr. Hay is a very, very faithful man, very gracious man, and very helpful. And he said many helpful things. But one of the things he said is he used the illustration of Genesis 11. You know how the pagan people, so anti-God, were building a tower up to heaven, and God's come down and confused the languages, and the work ceased. Okay, he read this to us. He says, there's a principle here. He says, when there's no communication, the work can't go ahead. Therefore, for the work of the Lord to go ahead, there must be clear communication. And I thought, yep, okay, got that down. Got that. More clear communication. And then he went on to say, write it down. Write it down. You know, whatever the Lord shows you, the way that the Lord's leading you, write it down. And so they started writing down four key aspects of the WILS, which is just four P's of ministry. Okay, this is the way they operate. First of all, you have to have a biblical philosophy. Write it down. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? That takes care of the why question. Why do we do what we do? What does the Bible say? Write it down very, very clearly. And then the second thing about ministry is not just your biblical philosophy. What does the Bible say? Clearly understood, written down. Second thing is people. You've got to have the right kind of people. People are the ones who implement the philosophy. And this takes care of the who question. Who are the people that we're going to use? Well, people who buy into our philosophy, understand it, and are going to implement it. Third thing is the program. Put the program together in a way which gives the maximum opportunity to respond to the Word of God. This takes care of the what, anything and everything. The program is anything and everything that touches the lives of the campers. And then the last thing, the least important thing on the list is the place, the location and the facility. And a lot of what we've seen tonight has been about location and facility. That's the least important thing in their thinking. the least important thing. And that's why camps abroad, going all over the world, ministering in, you know, difficult places, no campsite, nothing nice, but they can do it and have an effective ministry because that's the least important thing. They have a biblical philosophy. Anywhere they go in the world, biblical works. If it's scriptural, it works everywhere. And they train the people and they tweak the program to maximise the impact of the Word of God. And Dr. Hay was very, very big on this and he made sure it was written down. And I tell you what, these four key points, it's in the DNA of everyone who works there. We had different meetings with different people. It doesn't matter who it was, the maintenance man or the guy that looks after, you know, the CEO. And conversations with them, talk about, you know, how they go about their work. All of them are talking about this. It's just so ingrained. It's the way they think. And it started with Dr. Hay writing it down very, very clearly and teaching it and teaching others to teach it. And it's just so ingrained in the people. And this has been a great blessing for me to be very clear on what we believe God wants us to do, what the Bible says, and how we're going to go about it and write it down and make sure everyone understands. Just in closing, these are other things that we don't have time for. Here's Dr. Hay. Here's Colin Gregory. In Dr. Hay's office, showing his computer. What he's showing Dr. Hay is a picture of Beth Shan Mission. Going forward, can I just, James, could you just pass me that folder? Thank you. What do we do? Where do we go from here? Well, I just want to share some points about where do we go from here? What are we going to do going forward? Well, one thing is that Colin and Kathy Gregory, they are the key people at Beth Shan at the moment, and they are greatly burdened to use that campsite more effectively. As already been mentioned, our teens have a summer camp there every January at Beth Shan. They really look after us, and it's a great place. But Colin and Kathy would like to see the campsite develop and improve, more facilities, all that sort of thing. They'd like to be able to host youth camps themselves up there, as well as upgrade the facility for people like us. They put in a lake, or in the process of putting in a lake, and they want to put up an activity centre and a few other improvements around the place. And it was very, very helpful for them to talk with the people who've been there and done that and work out priorities. And here we are just sort of looking at the aerial view of the campsite, talking about what God might enable them to do. They're working on a master plan at the moment. So going forward, that's a big thing for them. It was very strategic that Colin and Kathy could come with us. For us here at Condell Park, presently, as has been mentioned, we already have a teen camp every summer. At the moment, Grafton and Coffs churches host that. They do all the organisation and they run doing a great job of that. And as Luke said, getting better and better every year, learning some things. And Kendall was there this year at the Wilds, and obviously lots to take back. And again, it was a great blessing that Kendall and Luke were able to attend. But beyond that, into the future, we'd like to think that we could also start a junior camp as well. The senior camp is fairly well established and growing. I think it had about 100 kids last year. But we'd like to somewhere, sometime, start a regular junior camp as well, probably in the January holidays. There's lots to work through. We're looking at January 2017. And God willing, the third touch of the Wilds will be to come back and help us once more, January 2017. And 17, perhaps running a teen camp and a junior camp. God willing, that's what we're thinking and praying about into the future. There's also opportunity for us to host other kinds of camps, not just teen camps. But Dan Brooks in particular is involved in family camps and couples camps and seniors camps and things like that. We learn a lot of things about other kind of camps as well. And so there's other opportunities for us. And particularly we'd like to think about partnering with Southern Cross. Pastor Nathan Searle was there, and we share similar burdens in this regard, so maybe we'll be able to work together, collaborate together on a few projects like that. But as Gus said, as Luke said, as Santiago said, all of us have learned things that we can immediately put into practice, not just in camp ministry, but also in our present ministries that the Lord is pleased to give us. So, brethren, thank you very much for, number one, allowing us to go. All of us who went left the gap behind, which was filled by you folk, and we appreciate you giving us the time off to do that. But thanks for coming out tonight. Thanks for listening to us, share some of the things that we've seen and heard. And we're trusting that into the future, God might use the experience that we've had at the Wilds to be a particular blessing here in Australia and particularly in our church. Let's just close in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our final hymn. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for the things that we've seen and heard. Many of us, several of us, have the privilege firsthand. And Lord, we know that to whom much is given, much is required. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards of those things which have been entrusted to us. We pray that others likewise would get the burden and see this kind of ministry as being a wonderful opportunity. And that we do pray that humble beginnings would see some great things achieved. Thank you for the example of Dr. Hay, who faithfully prayed 10 years. No wonder the ministry is a thriving ministry when it has that kind of foundation. Lord, burden our hearts to pray with such persistence that you might do a great work in our country as well. Again, we just thank you for ministering to us. May these things linger with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.